Blog Talk Radio. Okay, since my co-host is not going to do the show intro, what's up, you sexy bees? You guys know what time it is. It is 8:30 p.m., and it is time for Ask Miss V Sports with myself, Miss V the Toy Lady, and my co-host, James Acevedo, out of the NYC. And I can't hear him. He's there. Okay, we're going to have some issues tonight already. Let's try this again. Hello? Oh, it is so beautiful when my co-host is there, but I can't hear him. Okay, for those of y'all who are not familiar, this is Ask Miss V Sports, where we talk about sports with a little bit of sex. Every Thursday from 8:30 to 9:30. And what I'm going to do real briefly is because I think we're having some technical difficulties. Since I think I hear something. I think I hear it. I'm going to play a song. And we're going to try to find out what's going on. And we'll be back.
There you are. What are you doing? Yeah. Well, I didn't hear no song, no nothing. It just went dead. No, it's not. I heard you running. I heard you go, and then it just went dead. It totally went dead, and I was on here the whole time. I heard you muting, unmuting, but I didn't hear nothing. I was just about to tweet at you saying that I don't hear the show at all. I didn't hear nothing. Yeah, it is. Yes, I heard the waiting music, but then it just went dead. Okay. Alrighty.
Bang, bang, all over you. I'm ready to have me shake you down.
now finally we have everything squared away. I am finally on the air. Thank you, Blog Talk, for fucking this beginning up. But hey, it's technical difficulties. It happens. The Grillermans are out tonight. I am, of course, James Acevedo. Of course, this is Aspen's V Sports because it's Thursday night. You sports V's out there, and it's time for Aspen's V Sports on V's After Dark Radio. And, of course, like I said, I'm James Acevedo, along with the very patient and very loving Ms. V, the Toy Lady.
Y'all got introduction. See, y'all got the second introduction. And for those of y'all who want to join the conversation, because remember, we're only on for 1 hour. That means 60 minutes. Really less than...
Yeah, well...
We got 53 minutes now, but... call us 646-716-8041. And you guys can join the conversation. But I'm going to start off with... First of all, we're going to start off with something that's not sports, but we all know that I have to talk about sometimes the love of my life. And for those... And we're not talking about the man I'm dating. You know, this is the love of my life. Remember, you know, I always find these sickos that become the love of my life. You know, the idiots that be in the press. Well, the love of my life got sentenced today to life in prison without parole.
You know,
and it wouldn't be him without more drama. 25 minutes of asking for a mistrial and basically dogging out everybody from his counsel to his mother. How the hell you do it? I don't know. You guys have got to go on YouTube and see this shit. Cause I was
really?
Like,
really? What the hell? Are you serious?
He basically fired his attorneys before sentencing started, asked for permission to speak to the court. He introduced these fucking senseless-ass motions. As for a retrial, he said that the trial was streamed live, which it was not streamed. The only thing they did, they were blogging. Well, bloggers can say what they want. You don't get the trial. You get what the bloggers are saying. He threw his mother under the bus and said that she had already formed an opinion because she was watching it streaming live. He said that his attorneys basically didn't do what they were supposed to, that the jury had been tainted, and he requested a mistrial.
Wow.
And I basically was like, and the judge is allowing all this shit.
Yeah, he's amused, that's why.
I was just like, oh my God. You know, I was like, is she really going to let this puss face talk? But I couldn't pull away. I had to keep watching.
Wow.
But the soap opera is officially over. I don't have to see him anymore. You know. But the best part was, and it was at the sentencing. They actually had to recess for an hour so that he could fucking read his damn pre-sentence report. Basically, I didn't understand why. I'm serious. I was trying to comprehend.
Yeah.
After going to prison for life, does it really fucking matter what the pre-sentence report says?
Sure.
Life without parole is life without parole, right?
Word, exactly.
But apparently... this pre-sentence report determines where you're going to go. It has to do something with housing. I didn't fucking know this shit. But, you know, I personally thought that it was bullshit, okay? But he wanted to fuss about... Wait a minute, y'all. You ready for this one? They did not include his 40-plus years of community service and all this shit.
Really?
Who gives a fuck that you were president of the Rotary Club? Okay?
Wow.
What are you going to do become?
Desperate now.
he was desperate. But it was so funny. I'm just like, but then I liked it because his ex-mother-in-law, you know, you can say ex now because she got up and spoke.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I don't wish you dead. I wish you to live a long life. And every day when you wake up, remember my daughter.
Exactly.
I was like, really, dude? I was like, I'm loving it. Nobody wished him dead. Everybody wanted him to live a long life and remember that they were breathing fresh air and that he would never see his children. He'll never see his grandchildren. He'll never see his children get married. All this shit that he could have done. And what she said, she was like, you couldn't leave her alone. You wanted to live your dungeon life or whatever she called it. I was just like, wow. But the best part was at the very end when the judge read him the riot act. Because she's been so polite to him. She's been criticized for being so polite to him.
Really?
When I say criticized, they got on her about, oh, you look nice today. This was the setup for the letdown today. All this nice that she was doing to him, she reamed and if, you know what? What is that? I'm sorry for anybody who, Blade, you know how they use the swords and blade to just cut people up? Oh, my God. She diced him and
sauteed him.
Oh, my God.
Really? What did she say?
Oh, she said, you guys got to go on YouTube. I can't even repeat it. I mean, it's on YouTube.
Oh, well, just, okay.
I'll give you the link to it on YouTube. I'll post it.
Thank you.
But,
thank you.
When I say that she reamed into him, it was such satisfying that it was very satisfying.
Yeah, so you like the ending of this movie.
She told him at the very end, she's like, get him out of here. Get him out of here.
Ooh.
I was like, oh, yes.
Wow, like, really?
Yeah, baby.
Damn. She was dramatic like that.
Oh, yes, she was. She read him.
The riot act, as they say.
The riot act wasn't even what she did.
Really?
She cut him a new one. She called him basically arrogant. I mean, she called him out. She told him about himself. You know, basically, all I could say is that she earned her paycheck today. Because that motherfucker, oh, Lord. And today it was justice for Jane because he will never see freedom. He'll see light of day, but he'll never see light of day as a free man.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, seeing light of day is one thing, but being able to wake up and do what you want and not be able to tell. He's going to be told what time to go to bed, what time to get up, when to piss, when to shit, when to eat, when to do everything.
Yep.
Oh, and this son of a bitch had the nerve to complain because he didn't have no money on his account in prison.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, he did. You name it, he was complaining about it today. He didn't take responsibility for anything. He still says that he did not pay to have his wife killed and he didn't have her killed. A jury found you guilty. You know, it wasn't like you took a plea deal. A jury found you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And I wasn't on the jury, so I can't say what made them make their decision. I can tell you what, if I were on the jury, would have made me make the decision. First of all, he was caught on tape. He's on tape, basically, you know, when you go to kill somebody that killed your wife, I can't comprehend, you know, because I would let justice work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me, though, you know, not trying to be funny.
No.
I mean, you don't go hire a hitman to kill the person that killed your wife, okay?
No. No.
You just don't.
Uh-huh.
Not gonna go tell nobody. You know.
Wow. So life without parole. Okay.
Well, oh God. All I gotta do is say, I'm gonna post YouTube link because it's worth. First, I'm gonna post both YouTube links. It's worth
looking
two.
At.
Yeah, the first one is his 25-minute rant, and they had to take an hour break.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 25 minutes. Holy shit.
25-minute rant. That's the first
one. And how long was the judge's conniption rant?
You know what? I don't know, because the whole thing is an hour and 24 minutes long.
Wow.
And you get to the last 6 minutes, and it's her.
But
you got to remember, this is the whole, everybody got a chance to speak. Everybody was allowed to speak during this, and this is court starting and, you know, the legal stuff. But you got to see what his sister-in-law said. It's worth a good look. It's the type of shit, you know, I actually was ready to cry while I was watching her talk because the emotion and everything that she was going through. But let's get to sports. I'm sorry, you guys, for that, but I had to get that out because y'all know I have my old soap opera going on.
Yeah. It wouldn't be Ms. V without any with some soap opera in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of soap opera, yes.
soap opera called Detroit Lions. And
yes.
This is coming out of the newspaper. Yes, I have the Detroit News in front of me.
Okay. What does it say in Detroit News?
This is Lions looking ahead to 2015. I just have to read this because there's so much going on here. So do you guys mind if I read?
Nope, I don't mind.
Okay. And this is the whole article. So you guys, I will never claim that I speak better than I read. I speak better than I write. So I'm going to apologize to the time because Lord knows I can't always speak well. But this is an article in Detroit News. And the article starts with the East-West Shrine game this week and the Senior Bowl next week. The offseason is in full swing for all but the four NFL teams remaining in the postseason. Although the Lions finished 11-5 and earned their second postseason spot in the past 15 years, General Manager Matthew Mayhew made clear the roster needs upgrades before the 2015 season. We have to get better from a talent standpoint, he said last week. We have to be a better football team. I think we're a good football team right now, but we're not a great football team. Re-signing All-Pro defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh would go a long way to ensuring long-term success, but the Lions also have to add pieces through free agency and the draft to give them a better chance to contend for the Super Bowl in 2015. The number 2 ranked defense helped Lions reach the postseason in 2014, but the number 19th offensive limited the team's ceiling. The Lions finished 13th in point differential. The Patriots, Seahawks, and Packers were the top 3 in the Colts. Free agency. Free agents. DT and Ndamukong Suh. DT Nick Farley. OG Rob Sims. Oh, God, I almost messed up his name. LB Ashley Palmer. OT Corey Hillman. DT CJ Mosley. C Dominic Raiola. LS Don Mulbeck. Oh, Lord, I just fucked up his name. CB Rasheed Mathis.
You're on a roll.
Dan Orlovsky. DE Daryl Tapp. K Matt Prater. CB. Ooh, Cassius Vaughn. DT Andre Fuller. Oh, fuck. Fluid.
My God. Is a guy named Fuck?
You know what? I'm all right. I hope he doesn't listen to my show. D.E. George Johnson, O.L. Garrett Reynolds, T.E. Keelan Davis, F.B. Jed Collins, S. Isaiah Abdul, C.B. Josh Thomas, Q.B. Keelan Moore, restricted, L.B. Josh Byrons, restricted, W.R. Jeremy Ross, exclusive rights. Top needs, D.T., C.B., WROLQBDE. Analysis. Bringing back Suh is obviously the top priority, and how much the Lions have to pay him will be a factor in how they handle the rest of the free agency. That's why, as Mayhew has said last week, there's been a consistent urgency to reach a deal with Suh. If the Lions re-sign Suh, it's hard to imagine them selling out to keep Farley. But if his knee injury hurt his value, there's a chance they bring him back on a short-term deal to see if the defense can be as strong as it was last year. Of course, Mosley will be much cheaper, as he'll turn 32 next August, and he proved capable of starting when he replaced Farley. Besides trying to bring back some of the four free agent defensive tackles, Mathis and Prater stand out as the other top priorities. Mathis will be 35 next season, but he's coming off a strong season. It's one of the team's top veteran leaders and played a key role in the development of Darius Slay. Even if the Lions re-sign Mathis, they could use another veteran cornerback as a backup, whether that's Vaughn or someone else, as Bill Bentley, Navon Lawson, and Mohamed Sezi will be the top backups. And the first two are coming off-season-ending injuries. Prater proved confidence in the kicking game that had been lacking since Jason Hansen retired after the 2012 season. He wants to return, and the Lions should be interested in bringing him back, though he might face competition from a rookie in training camp. As for the other needs, it makes financial sense to bring back Ross for a three-year deal at the minimum, which he would have to accept. Okay. Yeah, y'all know this will happen when you read the paper, then you got to go over. Or we're six. Mayhew said last week the Lions have made some personal decisions for 2015, but they have yet to disclose any moves. He also acknowledged he can't make the same mistakes as in 2012 when the Lions stuck with some veterans whose play didn't match their earnings, which could mean some players will be expendable. Ultimately, what happens with Sue pending free agency, whether he leaves, signs a long-term deal, or the team uses a $26.9 million franchise or transition tag, will largely determine just how many upgrades the team can make before 2015. It requires a certain type of cash commitment to get that deal done. Mayhew said it would slow other things down if we were certain about whether it would get done or not. Here's an off-season primer for what lies ahead the next 4 months. Okay, you know what? They just fucked up everything. No, because I jumped around. I apologize, you guys.
Oh, okay.
I jumped around. So when we were talking about, as for the other needs, and whether Ross would accept a three-year deal minimum, which would have accept or just free agency, but the Lions will benefit from signing a proven veteran to an impressive deal. Ross and Corey Fuller weren't threats this season and didn't earn the trust of Matthew Stafford and Ryan Broyce and rookie T.J. Jones have yet to prove themselves in the NFL competition in camp. Damn. Would theoretically make the backup group stronger. At offensive line, the Lions will likely sign a veteran tackle, Hiller or someone else, and bring back Sims or Rayola. With Larry Warford, RG, and Travis Swanson, C/LG, slotted as starters, bringing back both would make little sense. At quarterback, the Lions could bring back that damn name I fucked up, Orlovsky and or Moore, but neither is top-level backup at defensive end. The Lions have starters Ezekiel Anson and Jansen Jones under contract, and Devin Taylor and Larry Webster will be backups. But the unit thrived on its depth last year. Bringing back Johnson or Tapp or signing another veteran is necessary. The salary cap. Here we go.
Uh-oh. Din, din, din.
Potential cap savings cuts. LB Steven Tulach, $3.2 million. DE Jason Jones, $3.15 million. RB Reggie Bush, $1.7 million. Analysis: with the salary cap expected to increase by as much as $10 million, the Lions don't need to make any major cuts to franchise Sue, but they might need to make some tough decisions to clear space for other free agents. Any of the three could take a pay cut if the Lions offer, but if there is a cap crunch, Tulloch, Jones, or Bush could become expendable. The Lions could restructure the contracts of Stafford and Calvin Johnson to free space too. In the terms of need and 2015 savings, Tulloch makes the most sense to be a cap casualty, as Tahir Whitehead proved to be a capable starter in the middle of 2014, and the Lions expect 2014 season round pick Kyle Van Noy to become a starter opposite DeAndre Levy. However, Tulloch was playing at a higher level than Whitehead before the injury and rarely missed a play. Unlike Whitehead, who shared time with Burns, he also a captain and has significantly more experience calling plays than anyone else. But whether he can return to a near Pro Bowl level at age 30 after suffering a torn ACL could play a role in the decision. Jones was a key cog in the Lions' top-ranked run defense, and even though he finished with 5 sacks in 2014, he has limits as a pass rusher, Plus, with Ezekiel Ansah flashing Pro Bowl potential, the Lions might choose to spend the savings elsewhere and trust their other young defensive ends in Benoit. Cody Bush wouldn't save much money, and after recovering from an ankle injury, he did finish some of his trademark agility in the last few games. However, with Dra'Quel Bell as the future back and Theo Riddick as receiving option, there might not be room to pay Bush. One other option might be tight end Brandon Pettigrew, who was ineffective in 2014, but he still has 3 years left on his deal and will only save the Lions $800,000 in 2015.
Damn.
So, getting rid of, basically they're saying getting rid of Pettigrew really ain't an option because they ain't saving no damn money.
No, it's
only $800,000.
Oh, $800,000, excuse me.
$800,000.
Jesus Christ.
But if they get rid of Reggie Bush, they ain't saving no money because he's only being made. I really didn't realize he wasn't making that much. 1.7, he made a sacrifice to come to Detroit. $1.7
million? And is he a free agent, too?
No, he's not a free agent, but that's who they're
Dominic
talking about.
Sue is.
Rid of. Sue is a free agent. And
I think that should be. I think they're going to have to. I'm sorry to cut you off. They're going to have to at least. Well, I don't know if he'll accept the franchise tag because I know he wants the big bucks. So I would think the first thing I would do is try to keep him before anything. What do you think?
Well, that's their goal, but what I think is going to happen, and this is my analysis, and I know everybody will say, really, Ms. V, you're going to say this. The option here, and they also wrote in the article, is you go, first of all, Calvin Johnson knows how valuable Sue is. You go to Calvin, and Calvin, somebody whisper in his ear, find out how much he's willing to give up. Renegotiate.
Get to help the team. Yeah, renegotiate the contract. Only in football you can do this.
Contract.
Only in football you can do this.
And
too bad, not like this in the other sports.
Right, but renegotiate with Calvin, because we know Matthew Stafford ain't giving up shit. He might, but I don't
know. No, you don't know. That's true. Yeah, it's true. But to be fair, we don't know.
We don't know. But the only way they're going to do it is make him franchise. If they make him a franchise player, he's
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they might give him that.
I think he's, you know what, believe it or not, he doesn't want to leave Detroit. And everybody keeps thinking it's the money. But when you saw him at that last press conference, if it was so much about the money, he wouldn't have been that upset. And, yeah, it was some fucked up calls. Let's get that clear. But I truly believe he has something. But I truly feel at this point he has something to prove. Mm-hmm. And when you have something to prove, you'll say fuck the money to prove what you got to prove. You're not going to, forego all your money.
No.
But
you're going to pay a decent amount. Yeah.
But when you can, like I said, I looked at him and maybe I looked at it different than most people. But the way he broke down, that's a man who got something to prove, and he's got to prove it in Detroit. This ain't about, I'm going to go to another team because fuck this and fuck that. He has said he want to stay in Detroit. Detroit wants to keep him. Regardless of the other, I've heard from fans who said he's a liability because of this, because of that. But you know what? As much of a liability as he is, I hope motherfuckers was listening to the damn press conference that the Bills' new head coach said. Because that's some shit that you listen to, and that makes you want to keep Sue. Because if you heard what the Bills' new head coach said in his press conference, he basically said, we're going to be the bully Bills, which means them motherfuckers are coming out there not taking no prisoners, which means that's something to contend with.
Yep.
And you have to listen to shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people called it.
No, well, that's Rex being Rex. Being from here in New York City, not a Jet fan, a Giant fan, but I always liked Rex Ryan. I never was too fond of his father, Buddy Ryan. I didn't care for him too much. But I like Rex Ryan. I like that the fiery attitude he has. And all he's doing is just prepping his team up. I mean, what do you want him to say? I don't think we're going to go to the Super Bowl and, we're going to suck.
What I'm saying is that if you're a team like Detroit,
who you need something.
Does have endemic, you have to listen to stuff like that. I'm one of those people, I listen to what come out of people's mouth because That's a sense of how they're getting ready to run their team. And he's basically saying, we're not taking no fucking prisoners. Does that mean they're going to play dirty? No. But what it
means is that
they're going to be a force to reckon with, and you want to keep Ndamukong Suh because he's a force to be reckoned with.
Exactly.
You don't want to get rid of that player.
No,
because you've got to go against the Bills.
And other teams. But listen, in football, it's totally different than any other sport. You need assholes on your team that are good. If they are good and they're assholes, you need them on your team. They are very valuable in football. Everybody doesn't have to be goody two-shoes and nice. And you need those out of control type of players as long as they produce, though. Let me rephrase that. As long as they produce. Now, if they're out of control and they're just wrecking the team's chemistry, they're not contributing, yeah, then they're going to get cut. But some of these, like Ndamukong Suh, who is a great, great player for the Lions, he's one of the best in his position in the NFL today. You have to deal with that. We had a guy back in the day, one of the great offensive linebackers of all time, Lawrence Taylor, who Bill Parcells dealt with. He gave him carte blanche all these years. You know why? Because he was fucking good. Great, matter of fact. He used to have, he'd be on cocaine, motherfucker had whores, before the game. He would try to do that to the opposition, get them all, like, with the prostitutes and get them all fucked up so they have a chance to win. But Bill Parcells dealt with that because he was a winner. He dealt that. As long as he contributed on the field, he didn't give a fuck what he was doing. And Ndamukong Suh is not even close to what Lawrence Taylor did off the field back in the day. Let's be honest. Lawrence Taylor was a man, and I loved him. but he was a maniac, and Parcells dealt with him unlike other players. He gave him a little leeway because he was the best player on his team as far as his defensive side of the ball. Sometimes you have to deal with it as long as they're contributing. And Ndamukong Suh, whether you like him or not, contributes to the team. He's an important piece to the puzzle. If you say he isn't, you don't know football. I'm sorry. It's just true. It's just a fact.
My whole thing is that when you look at him this season, he has really toned down
from where
he was. He has matured. As they say, the best way to put it, he has matured. And people still don't want to look at it, but guess what? Remember, he's still young compared to the rest of the team. What is he, four or five years out of college? We're not talking somebody in their 30s. We're not talking somebody. Calvin Johnson is older than him, and this is what they're forgetting. This is what they're not talking about, that part of what he's going through is what we call growing pains. His growing pains just happen to be public, okay? How many of us were in our mid-20s and fucked up and did shit? Come on now.
Oh, please.
I can't say that I was charged. I fucked up. The difference is that his fuck-ups are public fuck-ups.
Exactly.
That is the difference.
That is the difference.
And this is what they don't talk about. They talk about how dirty you were playing and all this stuff, but what they don't talk about is that, for one, he's still young. Two, the things that he's doing is to say, I'm sorry, I fucked up when I was in my 20s. Shit, I fucked up when I was in my 30s. So let's get this shit clear. And I still fuck up in my 40s. But at the end of the day, his growing pains are public. The car accidents, his temper, this shit just happens to be public. It doesn't mean that he's any different than anybody else. His just happens to be public.
Yeah, he's playing on a NFL team, and he's one of the best players in the game. Added on to that. So any little thing is going to be exploited. If you're Joe Schmo or Jane Schmo, no one gives a shit. And that's just the truth. Unless you go on a mass murder rage or something. Not that we condone that, but I'm just saying. That's the difference. People who are in the limelight, whether it's professional sports, entertainment and music, or movies, TV, any little thing you do, and if you fuck up, it's going to get put out there, especially now with social media. It's now more magnified than ever. So you got to really be careful. For you to be getting away with anything is almost impossible. Derek G is one of very few. Very, very few. Everybody else, they can make any little thing into a big thing. And that's a problem because there's a lot of yellow journalism out there that for some reason is taken to the word of gospel. Why is that nowadays? I have no idea, with the exception of because it's a competition. They want to be the first to put out the story, but not the accurate story. And that's a problem. Where back in the day, it was about getting it right, not who got it first. And because of the environment we live in now, and I remember being in school, being taught yellow journalism was bad. Now yellow journalism, it's accepted. What I mean by yellow journalism is basically a reporter goes by some sort of source. It could be anybody. When they say a source, like if you see in sports, anybody that reads the paper, like Ms. V did, or Sports Center, whatever, a source says that so-and-so said so-and-so. That could be anybody.
You don't always go by the sources. I mean, and you
exactly.
see that you double and triple and quadruple check that source.
Yeah, exactly.
And you
That's not like
behind
that now.
Them. And this is why you see so many retractions in all journalism, not just sports,
exactly.
but in all journalism, because
yes.
you look at the number of the retractions that
mm-hmm.
are going on, and you're talking about big newspapers. We're not talking about local hometown papers.
Yeah,
who
that's
was
what
it
I'm saying.
Times or somebody? Was it the New York Times? Didn't they just recently have to retract a story? Because
I think it was the Times.
Their source
it was somebody.
Was,
it was some major paper. It was definitely
it was a major paper.
Yes, it was.
And
they had to retract their story.
Because
yeah.
their source did not give all the correct information.
Exactly. That's my point. It never used to be that way. And now all types of platforms of media is all about, well, we got it first. Yeah, but is it right? You know, like really? It's about getting... See, but that's the problem, because it's all about getting it first so you can get the money. See, a source, they consider a source a janitor that sweeps up the stadium. That's not a source. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they got... Because let's be honest. Now, we all know this happens in sports. There is guys in the locker rooms that are on the payroll of these writers. Let's be honest. So, in other words, if they want to get a scoop, there's a fucking mole in some of these teams that be like, yo, I heard so-and-so said this during a meeting. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of fucked up, but it's just reality. And they put they're close with that writer. And... It's all up. Then they give the story to the writer, and then that's why you see this and this happen. Now, sometimes it's not true. Sometimes it is true. But they don't put their name on it. Like Herman Edwards said, put your name on it. Put your name on it. If you got an issue with somebody or whatever, put your name on it. Come on, bitch. Why can't you just, hey, I don't like this motherfucker. You know, why can't, you know, no. You got to be like, well, some source said, or anonymous, or nameless. Or, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? That's not cool. How about this? No one has to know. Why don't you have a closed meeting with that person man to man and sell it then? That's even better, to tell you the truth. But if you're going to go put it out there, put your name on it then. You want to put it out there, then put your name on it. Otherwise, shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? It's just stupid. And it's like that with the media and TV and with the newspapers and on the bloggers. You know, I'm not saying everybody does it, but a lot of the major sources, you know, the major media outlets do this, and it's not cool. It's not cool at all. And then when they had to retract, all they go is, "Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you sorry, huh? Lucky you don't get sued for slander." You know,
well, a lot of times they have been sued. You know, it used to be the stuff was for the Inquirer and
exactly. You used to laugh at that shit, like, "Oh, pff, the Inquirer." Now the Inquirer is like the gospel, like TMZ, you know, all that other shit, you know.
Well, TMZ is the gospel, okay? Let's, you know, I'm
that's
not
true.
Because think about it. They don't go by sources. They
no, they got their
video.
Own shit. No, but they got connections. They really
they
got connections.
You know,
connect.
Because you be like, how the fuck you find this person at a restaurant, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, them, I forgot who said this, but someone said this to me one time. He was like, well... Like, some news came out, right? And the guy was like, well, unless it comes on a TMZ, I don't believe it. That's how what it is now. Unless it's on TMZ, it's not true. You know what I mean?
But you know why people trust TMZ? And everybody hates TMZ. Believe it or not, they hate them.
I don't hate it.
But you know why? No, but I'm saying, but mainstream media hates TMZ. And you know why?
Yeah.
Because TMZ does not go by what they heard. TMZ will present a damn video to you.
Because they do actual reporting, the actual
you know,
investigation. You know what I mean? That's why. That's
why they
don't like
there,
it.
and they don't like them because, and they do it on a daily basis so quick. But you got to remember that the people that work for TMZ, if you look at their staff, everybody thinks it's a bunch of young kids. But the people that you see on TV is not their entire staff. And just for anybody who want to know, look at your research from when TMZ first started. Yep. Gossip Girl and her Nina Parker. Her actual Twitter name is Gossip Girl.
Okay.
She has the Gossip Girl handle. Nina Parker started on TMZ. They asked her, why did she leave TMZ? She's now on ET. Mm. And she said that she, you know, being in her late 20s, pushing her 30s, she wanted to do something more, and she knew at TMZ she would not advance the way she wanted to. Looking back, I think that maybe it was a good or a bad move. Yes, everybody knows who Nina Parker is, but also the people on TMZ are actually making more money than people know. Because how many shows can you be young, pregnant, talk like a hood wreck, and really be educated? Because, see, what I like about TMZ is that the people that are on their staff talk the way they really talk. But when you look at it, you'd be like, they're not hiring idiots. Because the one chick, Raquel, the black chick, she sounds so hood.
Yeah,
she talks about baby daddy and all this. But what everybody don't realize is every single person that works for TMZ has a college degree.
Yep.
They're all journalists. So as ratchet as this woman sounds, she's probably making more money than me and you.
Oh, no doubt.
But she sounds so ratchet and looks ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, really? But you got to remember, they're actually, this stuff is recorded at like 4 in the fucking morning L.A. time. Because
this is
what they're doing. We get it at 7 o'clock at night here in Michigan. But they actually record it at 5 in the morning because this is how much they're on it. Boom, 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 boom.
They're always on it. Even overnight, trust me. A lot of shit comes during the overnight.
Right, and they got TMZ Live, which airs in the middle of the fucking day, which is actually live. So when you look at what they're doing what no other tabloid journalism has done. They're catching it at the same time, on the spot, you know, really hitting it.
They're like, you know what they remind me of? They're like what CNN was back in the day 30 years ago, but it's for gossip.
Yeah.
That's what they are. That's what they are now.
And remember a lot of people they have TMZ Sports also.
Yep. I follow them. I follow them on Twitter. I follow them on Twitter. They have a lot of shit going on, you know. A lot of gossip, gossip shit.
I haven't even followed the sports side of it because I'm scared of what I might hear. I mean, shit.
Calvin Johnson, oops. Nah.
Yeah, talk about my man, you know.
What did he do? I've never heard him do shit, to be honest with you.
You know what?
I don't hear him. He doesn't really, right? I've never heard him do anything.
He does nothing but charity work.
See?
You know, I'm sure that he does other things, but...
Yeah, but regular guy stuff, you know.
He does, but that's just like you don't hear about Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, in all honesty, and I love Reggie Bush. I think he's a great player, especially for a motherfucker who made as much money as he did and didn't work most of the year. I'm with my son on that one right now, you know. I would love to make $1.7 million and only work 3 or 4 days, okay? You know?
Yeah, minus the bumps and bruises on going through a freaking football game. They earn their money. They earn their money.
But I'm saying $1.7 million of what he worked. He played 5 games this year. He didn't even play half of the season because he was out for a good 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, but still, you see why.
I know why, but I'm just saying, you know. You got to admire that $1.7 million. But he's more... Most people know Reggie Bush, let's keep it real, for fucking the fat ass bitch, you know. And
fat ass bitch.
I mean, yeah,
because
he
was fat.
She does have a fat ass. I mean, come on.
Oh, fat ass. I know you meant fat as in fat. You know.
No,
I didn't mean.
The fat ass
I didn't know bitch. You. I know you meant. I didn't know you meant phat. I thought you meant fat. Because the way you say it, I took that as a negative.
Well, it is a she is a negative, I mean, okay? Come on. She's definitely not a plus. I mean, when you become famous for a sex tape, you're a whore.
Mm-hmm.
And your mother is a pimp.
Yeah.
So you're a whore, your mother is a pimp, and accept it. You know. All about you, Bon.
Well, they made the deal with the devil and they're doing good business deals for now. You know? Can't, you know. And hate them for
Looks
that.
Looks like Jay-Z and Beyonce have been pulling away from him, though. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, yeah, I know, right? Right?
The Illuminati ain't quite playing with that shit.
By the way, I might not have, I had it somewhere. I don't know where I put it. But anybody doesn't know. Oh, here we go. You know, even though I don't have the newspaper, they do have a daily news Twitter page, which anything happens, they put it out. And one of the things I'm happy to announce, you know, being a Giant fan, if anybody doesn't know, the Giants were looking for a new defensive coordinator because they got rid of Perry Field. Now, the only thing that I found weird how they got rid of Perry Field was that anybody doesn't know that the next day after the last game of the season is called Black Monday. The reason it's called Black Monday is because that's usually the day all the coaches get fired, you know, assistant coaches, what they have you, when it, you know, especially the bad teams or certain teams that just didn't make the threshold, and it's usually a big day of a lot of firings and stuff. So Perry Field didn't get fired that day. Matter of fact, nobody got fired in the Giants, which I was really surprised. I really thought Tom Coughlin, who I said, you know, I appreciate what he's done, but I thought maybe it was time for him to leave. And they kept him. And I was surprised. I said, okay. And especially that Perry Fuel, the defensive coordinator, was kept because the defense has sucked the last couple of years. And let's be honest, all his fault, who has, I know he's been injured, but the last couple of years he hasn't been that hurt. He has sucked. Ever since 2011, their championship year, he hasn't done jack shit. So I don't know what the hell happened to him. I don't know if it got to his head, you know, that he thought he was the shit. Because sometimes this happens with young players, with Jason Pierre-Paul, is that they think after, if they get to that certain plateau, they say when you get success quick, you see how that person reacts to it. You know, it's like they're saying, you give a person power, you see what they do with it, how they react to it. So it's the same thing with Jason Pierre-Paul. He got the praise, and he earned that praise in his second year in the NFL, 2011, because he actually was one of the main reasons why they even made it to the playoffs and went on that run to win their fourth Super Bowl in their franchise history, which I got to see all four. Very thankful for that. But he, ever since the third year in his career, 2012, he had injury issues with his back. It would talk about, you know, he was lazy, which, you know, you never know with hearsay, but you know what I mean? But when you go on, I go what I see on the field, and he really has not been the same guy in the last 3 years. So with him, they saying they might keep him. I wouldn't keep Jason Pierre-Paul, to be honest with you. He's totally different than Dominic Sue. He's been quoted as saying, you know, I want to get that big contract. Well, he can show his ass out the door. I don't want him, especially the way he's been performing the last few years. I'm sorry. Now, I'm not begrudging you. You want the money. I understand, especially in football. You're lucky to have 5 years in a career. That's the average. If you're lucky, you know, because it's not, you know, because one day hopefully you get that big contract, because that next day you never know what can happen. Snap your leg and your career's over, you know, but at least you get that guaranteed money, whatever it is on that contract. And it's not like in basketball and football and baseball where all the money's guaranteed. It's only the signing bonus and what was agreed to on that contract up front. That's why players want that signing bonus a certain amount. Like, that's like an added, you know, like, well, I want that shit up front. Because all the other shit's like incentives. Like, okay, well, if you still good, you get this. If you're good. Otherwise, we just cut your ass. So, getting back to Perry Fuel, the defensive coordinator, he got canned like about a week or so later, which was kind of weird. And they said they reevaluated or whatever. I don't know what's true, what's not. But to make a long story short, they hired their new defensive coordinator. His name is Steve Spagnuolo. And I love that hiring because he was on our coaching staff back in 2007 and 2008 when we actually had a good defense at that time. And we went on to beat the Patriots to stop for that, preventing that perfect season. Thank God. I always liked Steve Spagnuolo. I'm glad they were able to keep him. Eventually, he went to head coach the Rams, but he didn't do well. Well, one of the reasons why, because the Rams sucked, but it wasn't all his fault. Then he went to the Saints as like one of the defensive coaches, and he was just on the Ravens coaching staff on the defensive side. He's a good dude. I love this guy. I'm glad they got him back. But to be fair with Perry Fuel, he did win a Super Bowl with the Giants. He did win that year in 2011 with them. He was kind of responsible for it, although to me it was O.C. Uminora coming back from an injury, and he helped make that defense better. But to be fair, Perry Fuel did deserve credit. He got a ring. You can't take that away from him. But it was time for him to go. He was with the Giants, Perry Fuel, since 2009. Actually, I think 2010. Yeah, it's like, yeah, no, 2009, I'm right. No, 2010, because 2009 we had a shitty defensive coordinator. He was there for 1 year. We got rid of him. So he was there from 2010 till this year. I wish him the best of luck, but I'm glad we got Steve Spagnuolo. It was between him, Pepper Johnson, a former Giant, who I love, Pepper Johnson. Oh, I remember him as a player. He was so great on that Giants teams in the 80s. And there was this guy, I forgot the other guy's name. I think his name was Mark Davis or something like that. He was actually a former head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Sorry, I'm thinking of college. Oakland Raiders. And it came between this Davis guy and Spagnuolo, but they kept Spagnuolo because they're familiar with him. They loved him. So I'm glad he's part of the team. They still need a lot of things to work on. Like I said, JPP, I wouldn't want him back. Antral Roll, I love the guy. See, and he's one of those guys that's like those guys, like you just saying, like a Rex Ryan type of guy, meaning like he goes in there and tells it like it is. He had a weekly appearance on WFAN, and he would tell it like it is, Andrew Roll. A lot of people like it, a lot of people don't, but I respect the man as at least he spoke his mind. He would say, well, you know, hey, you know, we played like crap, or you know what I'm saying? He didn't make excuses, and I like Antral Roll. I hope they were able to keep him, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully we're able to keep this guy. As far as Eli, I would like to think that maybe they restructure his contract somehow, and knowing Eli, he wouldn't mind doing that because he's a player's guy, you know. But other than that, there's still a lot of work to do on this team. I'm sorry. I mean, the only thing that was the bright light of this season was Odell Beckham Jr., who, by the way, won Rookie of the Year award from the Football Writers of America. Congratulations. Well-deserved. Well-deserved. He only played 12 games. He missed the first month, and he did outstanding. I mean, he was outstanding. I mean, everybody saw that one catch he did against the Cowboys, which was like, That should look like you seen a Superman movie or something. It was like unbelievable. But he's definitely an up and coming talent, and I'm glad we're gonna have him along with Victor Cruz when he's back and healthy after his big knee injury during the season. I think it's just a matter of fixing the defense a little bit. The offensive line definitely needs help. The offensive line sucks, and it's gonna take a little work. But hopefully, the one thing about football you can fix things quick. As long as your salary cap's not fucked up, you know, if you have enough money in the salary cap, you know, under the salary cap, you should be good to fix your team up. You know, it doesn't take long. It's not like in baseball or even basketball. Basketball, forget about it. You're dead if you're over the cap. You're dead. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Congratulations to C. Spagnuolo. Congratulations to Odell Beckham Jr., who his father was an athlete. I forgot where he played on, but his father was a known athlete too. And Odell Beckham Jr. is definitely going to be one of those top receivers in football. Don't worry, your man Chris. Don't worry, your man's still ahead. Don't worry. He got a long way to go before he becomes Megatron. But his first season, unbelievable. I mean, he missed all of September too, and he did outstanding. He did outstanding, and we'll see. He broke like giant rookie records and. He did outstanding. He really did outstanding. And this young man, I like the way he talks. I like the way how he presents himself, you know, how he is. And, you know, as long as he stays away from injury and he's not into some bullshit, he's going to be fine. He should be. If he have his head on swivel, he's going to be fine. Hopefully he's not JPP and thinks he's a shit and then he totally changes his work ethic. So we'll see what happens, though. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I talk about this is what I'm going to say. I don't normally talk about college football because we know I don't watch it because I don't give a shit.
Me either. Join the club. Yeah.
But what I will say is that Jim Harbaugh We all know who that is.
Oh, went to Michigan. That's right. His alma mater.
Well, guess who he stole from the Niners? He stole one of the defensive coaches. But
wow.
Remember, they're allowing him to pick his own staff, and he's going back to the Niners and pulling people. He already pulled one guy earlier this week, and I see more coming. They're calling the Harbaugh era, and I can tell you, again, we all know I don't give a shit about college football. Let's make that clear. But I am listening because one of the – I got to just read this headline. I'm not going to read everything.
Okay.
Now, this is what's in Detroit news, and this is something that Michigan hasn't had in a while. Big-time recruits hit U of M for a look.
Mm.
You have basically people who were like, fuck it, I ain't going to U of M. Back looking at them as really as a team that they want to go play on.
Okay.
We got to give Harbaugh credit, you know. They've been wanting him for a while. They finally got their man.
Yep.
And he's not a bad coach.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
So the whole thing is that when I'm going to read a little bit of this because I think this is better read. Because
sure. Go ahead.
It's better read than for me to try to say it. This weekend will be the first that Jim Harbaugh and the staff has been assembled at Michigan will be able to host official visitors on campus. The Wolverines will take advantage of that as there are several major attendees expected. Tight end Chris Clark, a five-star prospect on Scout, was once committed to the Wolverines, then decommitted, but since then has put Michigan in his final two along with UCLA. A large part of the Connecticut native's renewed interest is Harbaugh's history of success with the tight end position. My first conversation with Coach Harbaugh was great. He told Scouts, Bill Green, he thinks Michigan is going to turn into tight end U. Damn. And I'm the guy he wants. He said he's going to incorporate them into the offense. He did that at Stanford. And, you know, basically his reputation is making guys look at him, look at U of M. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I still don't give a shit about college football. Let's keep it clear. You know, and for anybody who says I'm not going to become a Michigan fan all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Eastern Michigan University. Well, I didn't just go there. I didn't just go there. I graduated from there. Therefore, my loyalty is with Eastern.
Of course.
And it's a big difference. And I'm sorry, U of M doesn't get me a job. When I put down what college I went to, it does not say University of Michigan.
No, it does not.
When people ask me where my degree came from, I proudly stated, because my college degree means just as much to me as a motherfucking Big Ten. First of all, I'm not a damn athlete. Therefore, that fucking degree don't mean too much other than when places of employment look at it. And believe it or not, all U of M degrees are not equal.
True.
So, I mean, if you're a big medicine fan, they do have one of the best medical schools in the country. Boom.
Okay. Pharmaceutical.
You know.
Yeah.
Every school is known for, Eastern Michigan is known for education.
Mm-hmm.
I have a political science degree.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that I have one of the very few degrees that are actually public law and government, which means I have a rarity in my degree. All schools don't offer it, which for those of y'all who don't understand, that means I have pre-law. That's why I understand the law. That's why I love the law. And public law and government is much different from public administration and political science. You gotta love the shit, I can tell you. That's the best way to put it. You gotta be a nerd to be able to understand it for undergrad.
Well, you said you're a nerd. You said you're a nerd.
But I'm just saying, but you gotta be a nerd to be able to understand the shit, because Lord knows.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand. I cannot understand. I hate accounting. I understand it, and I hate it. But to understand law, you got to be able to read between the motherfucking lines. Accountants cannot read between the motherfucking lines. I could look at an accounting expression and say, you know what, they really meant for this to be this amount. The number might not be there, but this one is really supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because I could read between the fucking lines. Remember, law is not written in plain English.
No, it's not.
Our forefathers did not write law for the lay person to understand.
That's because they were high on drugs when they wrote it. That's why. You know that little sniff they used to do? You know, that sniff? It was fucking cocaine and shit. And they would go, hey. You know, and all that lingo mumbo jumbo shit. Like, what the hell?
Well, remember even they used to wear wigs also.
Yeah, looking like you know what. Yeah, I mean, think of George Washington with his wooden teeth wearing a wig. Man, what those wigs were made out of? God knows how. Ugh, that's disgusting. Anyway, I think I didn't live in those days. Eek, my God. Hear he.
So, either way, you know.
Stupid.
That's
mama
why
mama.
I'm not a Michigan fan in any type of way. You know, and my team, you know, EMU is known more for basketball than football. So, you know, even though it's been damn near 20 years since we made it to the Sweet 16, we can, you know, I still take pride.
How they do this? Do they have any chance to be in the dance?
I don't know. No? I really, you know what? I haven't been to any EMU games this year, and it's really shocking because V's After Dark schedule has really been kicking my ass.
Well, yeah. Yes, it has. Literally and figuratively. Yes.
So, I haven't made it to any games, but my intention is to try to make it to some games. You know, I haven't made it, but since I do live closer to the school now, it'll be easier for me to get there and get back versus when I lived in Detroit. I'm closer to the school now. So.
That's cool. Was that done by design when you were looking for a home at the time?
No, it wasn't, believe it or not.
Okay.
It really wasn't.
Okay.
But it's working out good because if I do go back to my master's, yes,
that's
I'm
right.
That type of nerd. I can go.
Awesome.
But I'm also looking at...
You're a naughty nerd.
You know what? I'm looking at getting my damn law degree, so it's crazy.
Awesome.
That means... V's After Dark, they'll be talking about, well, y'all... They'll be like, wait a minute, is her hand in the book or is she on the air? But then we'll cut down some shows or we'll get more hosts and I'll just be like in the background.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like a guest host or guest co-host or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I'll
true.
Switch over to just being behind the scenes on the switchboard while other people will actually be hosting shows.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Well, hey, you got to do what you got to do. I'm down for that.
If I go back to school, I know they're like,
yeah.
You just made this announcement. No, I did not make this announcement. If I go back to school,
if
I will go down to only being on one show, and I will have the other shows will be where their co-host, they will move to primary host, and I will run the switchboard behind the scenes. That way I can study and shit.
Speaking behind the switchboards, behind the scenes, it's in just 13 nights, it would be the debut of the Bitter Black Bitch show. And I would be the guy behind the scenes running the boards with Ms. V, the Toy Lady, hosting along with her co-host, Sierra Devi. It's going to be 2 hours of bitching that you can't miss. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yes. Soundcheck went well, the air check went well last night.
Well, luckily it was just the air check and not a show.
Well, thank God. But it was definitely interesting. I mean, you know, it was cool.
But
I can't wait.
Just so you know what happened, because I was trying to figure out what really happened that made that happen last night.
Uh-huh. And what was that, Ms. V?
No, actually, it's a very legit excuse. And I don't mind everybody knowing because it's kind of funny.
That's why I didn't say nothing.
It's kind of funny, but it's kind of messed up also. You guys know we had snow here the past few days. And,
yeah, we
know that I got my new snowblower, but I have a really wide driveway. And I was yelling at my daughter about the way she was parking because I park in one area of my driveway and my daughter parks in another area where I was yelling at her that I couldn't get past her car right, that it was really making it hard. And she was saying, Mom, you didn't get all the way to the grass. And I was like, yes, I did. But when I went, I got home early enough where it was still really light outside where I could see, and I realized I missed like about 3 feet. So instead of taking a snowblower out because this snow had started packing down, I was like, well, I'll just grab the shovel. So I grabbed the shovel and I started running on my back. Well, when
Why
my
did
back
you do
cream,
that?
I wasn't thinking. But
yeah,
I was
weren't.
In pain. So when I was late for sound check, it was because I was in so much fucking pain. And no, I did not take no medicine, but anybody who knows about when you're sick and when you're in pain, your body shuts down on you. You don't get a choice. Your body finds a way to, kill itself.
It reminds me of that one show we did. I think it was Ask Ms. V Sports, if I'm not mistaken. And, yeah, it was. And you came on a little late, and you were out of it. You were so out of it because you were in such pain, and it was so bad. Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was really bad. That was bad. We were only here for, like, not even, like, half an hour or something, if that.
Yeah, I apologize. I was like, I can't do this. I was like, we got to sign off.
Yeah, the drug you're using was kicking your ass. The pain killer.
And yesterday, I intentionally did not take any drugs because I did not want to be like that. Well,
yeah,
my body said, if you don't want to rest, I'm gonna shut your ass down. So this is what your body does.
That's
if
true.
You won't take anything to help it recover, it will force you to recover, and that's what happened yesterday.
It goes on autopilot. That's what it does.
And my body went on autopilot yesterday. I was like, fuck you. You know, you going to do this shit? Shut your bitch ass down.
You know, it happens.
It happens. But like I said, but that's why, you know, I don't mind telling everybody because I'm still feeling a little bit of the pain today. But I realized what happened, you know, and I was just like, I'm just going to close my eyes for a second, you know, just so I could let this boom. And considering that I was responding to, you would think that I would have been okay considering what I sent out a tweet and I sent out a Skype message.
Yeah, right. I know.
And next thing you know, I'm like, boom, I'm gone.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, because I was like, what happened? She set up the show page. I mean, she did all that. Well, that you did way ahead of time. Let me rephrase that. Oh,
no,
you didn't?
No.
Oh, I thought you did the air check page way ahead. You didn't?
No, I didn't. I didn't do it until yesterday, right before I sent you that damn that message.
Oh, my God. Be on the lookout for that. Starting Wednesday, January 28th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it will be the debut of the Bitter Black Bitch Show.
And there is no Ask Ms. V Sports next week, so this will be the last time you guys talk to us for a week.
And, yeah, and the same thing with
it's
you
all
know,
about
it's all
sex, and
sex,
more sex
and more sex. What am I gonna do? Oh no!
You'll be living vicariously through my damn tweets from Vegas.
Yes. Oh, you know what I'm gonna do? I know. Well, except besides all the other 10 million things I do with dollhouse and stuff. You know how I'm very creative, and I take my position very seriously, even though I sound like I act like a fool 24/7. I'm going to add some funny sound bites for the Bitter Black Bitch Show. I think for that type of show, I think it'd be perfect. You know, not overdoing it, you know what I'm saying? We don't want to be, you know, played out right away, but there's certain ones I want to upload since I have the authorization by you to go in there and upload a few things because I'm all about making the show not only, you know, funny, but even more like real and informative. So I think these sound bites at certain moments will be perfect. It's not for every...
And considering you'll be the one running them, we won't... Okay, for those of y'all who are understanding, we have a real engineer. So for those for y'all who don't understand that every show on Blog Talk can have an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
It is the option of the show owner.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
which is you.
Circumstances beyond my control, I have not had a engineer.
Mm-hmm.
We now have an engineer for the Bitter Black Bitch show.
Ta-da. And you're hearing him right now.
So with that, there will be things that will be happening behind the scenes that we won't know. Calls will be screened. As a matter of fact, calls will be screened on It's All About Sex, Sex, and More Sex.
Ah.
So things that we haven't had going on before will now be going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty of the co-host situation and the engineer situation on these shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to make it clear for this Bitter Black Bitch show, you won't ever probably hear from me, maybe once in a blue moon, if that, but I'm more in the background. I'm going to be totally in the background, taking calls, screening calls, taking calls, play a soundbite. That's another thing I was going to say. I was going to ask about that. We're going to have a chat room, open a chat room, and that'll be great. That'll be great. I'll be the one that you'll be talking to in the chat room. So if you have anything to say, whatever, you know, I'll be the one talking to you. And if it's anything really interesting, I'll text it or whatever to Ms. V.
And I'll also be seeing the chat room. So
that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, you'll be looking at the board at the same time, too. That's true. You're right.
You know, so I'll be able to see what's going on in the chat room at that time. And
that's
what it is that the chat room will be open. You'll see him as the co-host. When you see co-host up there, that's how he'll be running the chat room. So it'll be, we have options of ways we do it, but you'll see responses from him as co-host. So you'll see V's After Dark co-host, and you'll see V's After Dark, and that's how you'll know what's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good way of doing it. So it's very exciting. I can't wait. And especially another exciting thing coming up in less than a week. You know, at this time, a week from now, you'll be in Las Vegas having fun. You know, any other things that's come up, or same old, or, you know, looking forward to it, obviously?
I'm still packing, and that's sad.
Oh, my God. How much are you bringing? Jesus Christ.
Well, remember, this is not just a working trip. Well, work
True.
Is day
well,
and night. So let's
yeah.
rephrase it. Work is day and night. So unlike when I do Exotica, when I'm working in the same outfit all day long, my daytime working outfit and my nighttime working outfit are two different outfits.
Nice.
I'm at the club in club clothes, and in the daytime, I'm wearing V's After Dark attire. Therefore, and then I have to go to dinner. So naturally, when I go to dinner, and let's get this clear, I'm not going to dinner in V's After Dark attire. I'm normally, if I go out, there are fans, and I do have, you know, the fans there who know me, who see me on a regular basis. You know, we do go places like Bubba Gump and these different restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go out, just so you guys will know, if you ever see me and you want to go have dinner with me, you know, remember I normally do dinner in groups. So
smart.
This little one-on-one dinner that you might think you're going to get with me.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Yeah.
The little private, I'll get an intimate. That's not going to happen, okay? I do dinner normally in groups. So normally if a group of fans are there and they say, hey, do you want to have dinner with us? It's always in a public place. I have no problem going, you know. And normally my favorite place to go is Bubba Gump. I just love Bubba Gump. I go there every year. That's the one place I go. But
so
I also do,
this is just a regular restaurant? Like what type of restaurant is Bubba Gump?
Yeah, it's called Bubba Gump Shrimp. They're in Louisiana. Remember Forrest Gump?
Ooh.
And remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Bubba Gump Shrimp. Yes. So
oh, shit.
Bubba
that's
Gump.
Cool. That's right. They got, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So
oh, that's cool. Oh, that'd be awesome.
So I normally go to Bubba Gump.
Damn, I wish I could go. Damn it.
They've got Denny's, Elias Brothers, and all this on the strip. So,
yeah.
You know, but like I said, I normally always go in a group. So if anybody says, hey, it's a group of us, there's Ms. V, asked if she want to go. This is the time when you really get a chance to see me, but I answer questions and stuff. I'm really laid back because I'm drinking, you know. But
I'm telling you, it's going to be...
It's a fun, casual time. And then normally when I leave dinner, then I'm getting ready to go to a play or something. I mean, remember, I do go to shows when I'm there. So
oh, boy.
The clubs don't open until 11 or 12 o'clock. So the shows that I normally go to start at 8 or 9 o'clock. So I normally finish AVN at 6 o'clock. I'll go change. I'll normally meet up at a restaurant between 7 and 7:30. Be there till about 8 or 9 o'clock. Leave there, and I'm, you know, depending on who I'm hanging around with, I'm at one of the shows. The shows go for a couple of hours. Then I leave the show. I normally go back to my hotel, change again.
My God.
And then I hit the clubs. And then I'm at a club till about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Then I'm back up about 8 o'clock because, remember, I also work out when I'm in Vegas. So...
Damn. Well, like you said this on it's all about sex, sex, and more sex, and privately to me too. You know, when you're in Vegas, you're not there to sleep.
I don't
basically.
Really. I get about 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah. So, you know, you're there to mingle and network and then you have fun. Like you said, this time of year it's more. It's not like Exotica, where it's a lot of work, and almost absolutely no fun for the performers, you know, for the people in the industry. It's more about giving to the fans, where this is more the other way around. The performers are getting the accolades, you know, maybe some shouldn't be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Am I saying, you know what I'm trying to say, it's politics,
I know what you're trying
you know.
To say. But then I mean, I'm doing interviews when I'm there, so a lot of times, you know, just so you guys have never been,
yeah,
it's,
I wish I could go.
It's a lot of work. And since I'm not work is walking
totally
around. As of right now, we still don't have ink pens.
I was going to say, with your pens. I was
still not here yet. Ink pens.
Oh, great.
Still not here yet. That doesn't mean they won't be here by Tuesday, but if they're not, you know, I still have pens. I'm not totally penless.
No.
You know, I just don't have as many as I would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this year, less might be better, though. You know, it might be better to have less. I'm not going to say that I have to have it one way or another. Would I like to have as many as I want? Most definitely.
Remember,
well,
less is more.
It may not be.
You know, yeah. Like you say, go ahead.
But like I said, it's really going to vary on how it happens. Therefore, you know, I'm not discounting because the pens were ordered. It's my own fault if they're not here on time.
Okay.
I've been preoccupied.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. So. Not good. Well, hey, I'm definitely going to miss you and, you know, for the whole week. I mean, I'm luckily a busy person, so I won't be in a dark room and be depressed, you know, listening to Barry Manilow. I actually will be doing stuff and preparing, actually, you know, holding it down for Beach After Dark as far as the studio part of it. And I'll be uploading audio clips just like I do for my show on Dawes. Actually, last night I was doing that. Adding up certain things. So, you know, look at me. I can't wait. You know, I can't wait when we come back from that 1 week recess, as they say, after we come back from dark, because we're going dark next week.
Yeah,
hopefully
Montana we can get
started.
YouTube video up before I leave.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that would be nice. Yes, that would be good. Well, yeah, hopefully that'll be done very soon, shortly, and then I can get that together and get that going. I guess I would just send it back to you or something. Like, how would that work?
Yeah, it'll have to come back to me.
Okay, that's what I figured.
But we're
ooh,
all here now. You know, we'll discuss this. I'll get some.
Yeah.
For everybody, you've been listening to Ask Ms. V Sports.
Yes.
And we know we're not over, but we'll be done, got cut off, and we all know we don't want to get cut off.
Yeah, and I don't want to lose my signal. No, well, last week was a rarity. That's the first time that ever happened to me. I apologize for that last week, having issues last week. I don't know what the hell. It was like 3-4 times I got, you know, cut off. Like, what the hell is going on? But this week has been much better. So, yeah, well, I wish you a safe travels. I mean, we'll talk before, you know, but I'm just saying, I wish you safe on here.
And we'll talk while I'm in Vegas, you know. That's the beauty.
Cool. Oh, that'd be cool. I'd be like, hi, everybody. Hi,
yeah.
Miss Tina. Hi,
I normally do my Skype in my hotel room, you know.
Hi, Naomi.
So.
Hi, everybody. I mean, what an all-star.
There'll be a lot of pictures taken. That's the one thing, you know.
Cool.
If I can act like a fan while I'm there, it's going to be fun. That's going to be my biggest problem, is that I no longer act like a fan. So the pictures that you would normally see me in when I first started going, I'm just like, okay, do I really want to take a picture, you know? So I think because of everything that's going on, I'll probably be taking more pictures. That's my hope and my goal, to take more pictures.
I think another good thing to do also, just like, because anybody doesn't know, Alana Evans, my co-host on my Bench Woman's Live show on Dollhouse Radio, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is tomorrow, she will be inducted into the AVN Hall of Fame next week. So she'll be networking out there, talking about my show and, you know, getting other people to get on the show. So, you know, we're doing, you know, we got things going on. You know, I know Miss VB, hey, you know, come on, you know, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex, you know, this, that, and the third. So, you know, matter of fact, tomorrow I'll be interviewing Kiki Derriere, which is one of Alana's friends and is in the porn business. Matter of fact, she's going to be there too at Exotica. So I network with her, telling her basically, hey, you know, you could come on V's After Dark and, you know, on radio in the near future, you know, in due time, and, you know, so that way, see, it's a small world, let's put it that way. We have a small
mm-hmm.
world here, and it's going to go in a complete circle where everybody, you know, one hand washes the other and both wash the face, as they say. So I can't wait. Yeah, I wish I could be there. We tried, but I saw the writing on the wall a long time ago, and I accepted that. So it was fine. Hopefully, from here on out, hopefully, maybe the one in Chicago this year I can go. That would be great if that could happen, possibly. So with that, you know, we were talking about that off the air, and hopefully we'll see what happens. And that would be great, because I like to be part of it. Because I think a lot of people are like, well, who's that annoying motherfucker with you on that show? I'm like, who is that? I don't see that guy. So it'd be good to, and plus to finally meet too, because we haven't, you know, it's almost a year we've been doing this and haven't even ever met in person, believe it or not. We have never met in person. So, because Ms. V's from the D and I'm from the NYC, that's why. So, well, we'll see what happens. I hope you enjoy yourself, and I can't wait for the pictures. I know there's going to be stories. I know when we come back, I'm telling you, when we come back on the 26th, in January, when we have Montana Star on, it's all about sex, sex, and more sex. I know it's going to be stories. Ugh. I can't wait. That show might go overtime.
And she will also be in Vegas. So.
That's right. That's right. Montana Star will be there. A lot of Miss Leighton Benton. And, oh my God, Naomi Banks. Which that was a great attaboy. That's like the cherry on top of the AVN Sunday. I was like, wow, because it was just recently, not too long ago, that she announced it, like over a month ago or so. So that's great. So, you know, Chocolate Radio will be in his house,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's all good. I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait for the pictures, because I follow most of these people. Most of these people follow me back. So I'm going to be seeing a lot of different pictures from Misty, Layton, you know, everybody. Matter of fact, to be honest, I don't know if Missy is going to be. I haven't seen nothing if she's going to be out there. But I do know Leighton Bateson is going to be there, and definitely Naomi, and definitely most of the major players are definitely going to be there. I mean, you name it. Male side, female side, whatever side. transgender, whatever. I don't know about transgender, but, you know, I'm just saying, they're all going to be there. So, it's going to be very interesting. And we'll see what, you know, I can't wait for the stories. And I can't wait for the pictures. And I can't wait for a little, like, one of those Instagram type of videos, quick video type things.
Well, I'm going to find out something for you because I will be able to tell you now if Misty is going to be there.
That's a good question because I haven't seen nothing. Then again, I haven't really looked hard enough, so I don't know. But I tell
she's normally there every year.
Okay, I would think so. But I, to be honest with you, I didn't see nothing to that effect as far as she will be. Everybody else I've seen, basically.
So why they haven't Farrah Abraham there, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. But it's going to be fun.
Skin Diamond will be there, but we already knew that.
Oh, her,
I'm going through the talent that's going to be there. They got Layton on.
Name those names. Name that all-star. You know what this is like? This is, you know how the NBA has...
As usual. See, Anna Fox is always there.
Oh, I love her. She's impossible to get on the air, though. I wish we can get her.
Impossible.
Yeah, extremely. Yeah, let's put extremely impossible. There's just certain people that are just impossible to get on the air. Not because they're assholes or something. It's just that it depends on their publicist and their management team. Sometimes the management team speaks too much for the client and kind of fucks things up. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
and then the client don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah, but Anna Fox, I remember called on her show one time and yeah, it was good.
So for anybody who wonders why I'm real silent right now, I'm just going through real quick.
Yeah, you're looking through to see if she's beyond there. Yeah.
Damn, I see Mo's going to be there. I got to go hang out with him. I love hanging out with Mo. Mo?
Who? Oh, Mo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
I love
okay.
hanging out with him. And see, just because they're not listed that they're going to be there doesn't mean they aren't going to be there also.
Yeah, okay.
That's the whole thing because... I know last year, she had her own booth.
Interesting. That's going to be
good. Like I said, what I'm doing now is I'm just scrolling through real quick just to see. Because you know who else I don't see being out there?
Who?
The twins, Natasha and Natalia.
Oh, yeah, the ones we had on, right?
Yeah. I don't see them either.
I could have sworn they said that they were. Remember when they came on? I could have sworn they said they were.
Yeah. Remember when I was talking about the big dick the other night?
Yeah, well.
Jeremy. Remember?
Oh, him.
Ron Jeremy.
Oh, the legend himself.
Yeah, remember I kept saying the legend, and I couldn't remember his name. It's Ron Jeremy.
Wow. You should be put in a corner.
They don't have Misty on here, but that doesn't mean she's not going to be there. Because I'm going to do something that... This is how you find out when people are going to be there.
Okay.
I'm going to do my famous tweet.
Yeah. Hey, girl, are you going to be there? I'm tweeting that. Hey, are you going to be there? It's a good question, though. Matter of fact, what am I doing? I could have been on Twitter looking shit up. My dumb ass. But I usually, when I go there, I don't go on it every day. But when I've gone on a page every now and then, you know how they make those flyers, the AVM flyers for everybody? I didn't see nothing to that sort.
But she didn't. They didn't do one last year.
Ah, really? Okay.
She had her own. If they have their own booth, then they won't be listed as a talent that's going to be there because they're doing something different. Because guess who else is not on there, even though we know they're going to be there? Naomi is not listed on the AVN site.
Oh, and she's definitely going to be there, of course. Yeah. Right? True.
So,
okay. Will you be at AVN next week? I'm reading it. Skin Diamond. London Keys. Ooh, London Keys. Yeah, she's London Keys. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Who else?
So.
If you're hearing me going, ooh, oh, that's nice, it's not because it's for obvious reasons. Because I'm looking at her photos, I'm trying to see. And she pulls this up, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. Ooh, okay. So excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, if I sound like a pervert right now. I'm sorry.
What else is new?
Yeah, I don't see nothing.
You know what? No, she must be going to be there because they're talking about vote for her for the AVN Awards 2015.
Oh, okay. Well,
She retweeted. Vote for your favorite website, AVN's Awards. Okay, so she is going to be, and they got her listed, so.
Nice. That's what I thought. I thought so. There you go. Nice. I figured she would be. And then again, I forgot about the voting. I did vote. So that's awesome. So I'm telling you. What's that? What happened?
How did you forget that you voted?
I could have sworn it was something, unless there was totally something different. There was some sort of, I could have sworn the AVN Awards that the fans could vote. Yeah, they had that, well, they spit stopped that a long time, you know, but they had it where you could vote, you know, and they tweeted out the link, whatever, and I voted a few times, you know what I mean? I was on there every day, but I was on there most, you know, every now and then. And I voted for Misty, I know that, you know. Layton, I think Layton's was one of the categories. I think so. I know I voted for people that actually supported us and and that I like, and which is really the ones I like actually support us. So there hasn't been one that I like that hasn't supported us. So it's good that it goes both ways. So I'm glad that we have that, you know. I mean, there's no conflict of interest here. We're just, you know, I really do. Like,
because I don't do films, you know.
Exactly.
Nothing against them. Let's make this clear again. I have nothing against films. If I were smaller and younger and braver, I might would do them.
Those three big keys.
Or if I were to do them, I would do Girl, Girl, because I feel that there's some things you should reserve for your private life. That's just me. Okay. Nothing against anybody else. So don't nobody say she went to Slam. No, I did not go Slam. I personally would only do Girl, Girl if I was going to do film.
There you go. And that's your exclusive for this evening on Aspen's V Sports. She would only do Girl, Girl if she was able to do it. If she was brave, smaller, and what's the third one? Brave, smaller, and what you said?
Younger.
Younger. Okay, yeah. That is a big, that is a big key. That part. Big key. Those three big keys. Yes. Let's be honest, these people deserve some sort of, notification, you know, respect, because, you know, not anybody can do it. If everybody can do it, it's just like in sports. You know, if everybody can do it, then it wouldn't be special.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't be paid the money they would be getting paid. If everybody could do it, it would be minimum wage for everybody. Or just, you know, normal job. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't say this. But not everybody can mop a floor. There are some people that don't know how to mop a floor. But you know what I'm trying to say. There's certain jobs where anybody could do. But there's certain special type of positions, like being a pro athlete or being an adult performer or, you know, those type of, you know, movie actor or actress, you know, all those types of spotlight type of positions, that's why they get paid certain money, especially if they do it very well and they bring in revenue. You know, because that's the main key. If they have a huge following, that's where the big bucks come in. So
Yes.
Yeah, so
we're going to sign off.
Okay,
again.
Bye.
Again.
Like Fred Sanford said, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Fred said, what's his name? George Jefferson. Get the hell out of here. Bye. You know, slam the Anyway,
so
go ahead.
We will talk to everybody in 2 weeks. We'll be back on the 27th, too.
Aww.
It's all about sex, and more sex. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter at Miss V Dattoly. It is MSVDATOYLADY. And make sure you follow James at YankeeMan1973. That's YANKEEMAN19. 1973. And we'll be back in 2 weeks, you guys.
Yes. Bye. Have fun. Be safe.
Good night.
Have fun. Say hello to everybody. And they'll be like, James, who? All right, anyway, good night. Good night, everybody. Night, Ms. V. Yeah. Have fun. Kick ass. Bye.